Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It feels so good to be back. Welcome to another edition of the hashtag Miranda Show. I am your Twitterless heroine, the hashtag queen of soft style, ring announcer to the stars, Miranda Morales. Welcome, welcome. I took a bit of a hiatus last week, but I am back, baby. Pumping in the air. You can't see that. And luckily you don't, because that was terrible. I don't know how to dance, everyone, but I can't contain my excitement because I'm really, really happy to be back on the air. The hashtag Miranda Show is part of the Chair Shot Radio Network from thechairshot.com. Your best
thechairshot.com
wrestling news,
always use
analysis,
your head. Opinions.
I just talked over that. Play it again.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, you can use the hashtag use your head on social media. You can find The Chair Shot online, of course, chairshot.com. But they are also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at TheChairShot.com. No dot, just TheChairShot.com. With me, as always, this person who runs the controls, presses the buttons, beep, beep, boop, boop, all that kind of stuff, my co-host, Greg DeMarco.
Mandy.
Shut up! Beep, beep, boop, boop. All that kind of stuff. That's just your way of making sure people know that I'm the one who screwed up the opening of the show, not you.
Yes.
When I clicked the wrong button as I was transitioning from YouTube to the Soundbite platform and clicked the button that caused it to jump to the wrong song and all kinds of stupid shit happened. And we played Patrick O'Dowd's theme song.
For those of you who may not know, that song belongs to one Patrick O'Dowd, who is part of the Greg DeMarco Show podcast team that both myself and Greg are also on. So, yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, then, yeah, it's, you know, not a big deal. But for those who know, I mean, that is Patrick's song. So I'm not here to try and steal his song. I'm not here to steal his place. It was a complete accident. So don't go running and tell Patrick that, you know, Greg gave Miranda a Patrick song. No, that's not how that works.
He already thinks those things anyway, so it doesn't matter. really funny, though. You know, as you're talking about Patrick O'Dowd, there's a tweet on my Twitter feed from Carmella, and it's actually the end of a thread of tweets. It's really funny. It talks about how Carmella explained, you know, after another attack from Sasha Banks and Bayley, Carmella explains that enough is enough and it was time to forget old grievances and help Charlotte. And of course, that interview was with Kayla Braxton, so I had to watch it. Bayley replies with, "Text me." And Carmella replies to Bayley with, "Dude, you can get my number from your mom." I mean, it's just so good. Like, it's just so, so good.
That's a good one, Zing.
Especially considering what we talked about during the first show and Patrick's mom and everything that happened between apparently myself and Patrick's mom.
Damn!
Yeah.
We'll be talking about Patrick's mom, but it's so funny. It's hard not to.
Damn!
There was, a long time ago, Facebook at one point had, like, all these question and answers, like 50 questions you could answer about yourself, and everybody was doing them, and people could reply, and I did one, and I think Patrick replied to it, and in like number like 47 was like something you'd say to your best friend, and he replies with, "Your mother's a whore," and this was seen by like friends of mine in high school, and I still remember where one of my friends, whose name was also Greg, thought that "your mother's a whore" is the funniest thing. Another person who I dated in high school was like, and you know, knew her mother, and her mother loved me, was like, "If you ever call my mother a whore, I swear to God, I will come kill you." And it's just like, it's just a thing. Don't worry. It's just a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing people say. It's almost like hello on the post, I'm sure.
All in good fun.
You guys know how to party.
Well, another thing that you all can do is you can go online to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, where you can buy one of many, many shirts on there to support thechairshot.com. Lots of different graphics and styles. But what I want to talk in particular, and for those of you who know, I again am the hashtag queen of soft styles. So spend the extra money, get yourself a soft style t-shirt. One of the t-shirts that I own myself, I'm a very big fan of, very comfortable, is one, Baron Corbin Sucks. This came out of a skit or a segment on the Greg DeMarco show, where all you do is just say Baron Corbin sucks. You know, three simple words. But now I'm wondering, is this still true? Do we still live in a world where Baron Corbin sucks? And this also got instigated a bit through an article that was written on thechairshot.com by Steve Cook, titled Cook's Top 5 Wrestlers I've Flipped Flopped On. He talks about many people flip-flopping on Baron Corbin recently through his King of the Ring tournament run. And then he also mentions a few wrestlers that he has flip-flopped on over the past few years. But I've heard so much now about people loving Baron Corbin during the King of the Ring tournament. And a few months ago when this was announced, the idea of King Corbin sitting on that throne horrified people. There was talk about wanting Samoa Joe and Ricochet and even, you know, through the finals, Chad Gable. But as he progressed through the tournament, people just started to really get drawn to Baron Corbin. They loved his matches. They loved how, you know, he was really rolling into this heel side, but it was obnoxious, but not overly obnoxious. And probably due to him not being on TV for a while. I mean, he was involved in the Universal title match after WrestleMania, and then he just fell off for a few months and came back in for the King of the Ring. Just a huge crowd source of reaction came, and people overall are positive on now your new King of the Ring, Baron Corbin. And I know we've joked around about it for a long time, but I'm curious to get your insight, Greg, on if Baron Corbin still sucks. Now, granted, I don't know if you want to go change the t-shirts on it. I'm still sure that it's a timeless shirt. Maybe he'll suck again one day. But, you know, I have to admit that I've really enjoyed his run during the King of the Ring tournament. I think he's been a perfect foil and heel up against people like Ricochet. The match with Chad Gable, I thought was really good. And it does what it's, you know, King of the Ring is meant to help elevate people into that next level. And I think Baron Corbin was always slated for that, with already having some Universal title programs with Seth Rollins, with just, you know, being really involved in the Authority, even though he really got blamed for a lot of the terrible things that happened as Triple H and Stephanie and Vince and Shane took over again as a storyline scapegoat, you know, really nothing to do with him, but storyline, he was the scapegoat. But it also feels like really refreshing that he did have some time and he came back, and now we're going to be hearing about King Corbin now for, I don't know, however long, but it's going to definitely be something that is incorporated into his character from now on. So I'm not hating it. And I also think that King of the Ring did its job. It helped elevate someone to this next level. And he is always going to be remembered as a King of the Ring. And I think either way, the company was going to get behind him. This is just kind of a solid platform to do that. So Greg, the question begs, does Baron Corbin still suck?
I mean, the one word answer, honestly, is no. Like, Baron Corbin doesn't suck. And I even, what? You know, Patrick got mad at me months ago for talking about how I was coming around. Even during the Constable Corbin time frame, I was starting to get Baron Corbin. I just think what we've seen is a guy come into his own, and that's, you know, he hasn't been doing this very long. When you look at, you know, AJ Styles been in the business for nearly 20 years and stuff like that. Like, he has not been doing this all that long. And so for him to be able to come out and do the things that he's doing now, like, he's finally kind of figured out who Baron Corbin is. And so I am, you know, I don't think he sucks anymore. And I think that he knows what he's doing. He knows who he is. He knows his character. And I think there's a lot of positive to that for me. And so, yeah, I am, I'm on board with Baron Corbin right now.
Wow. Did you think there'd be a day? I mean, you did talk about kind of coming around a few months ago, but even a year ago, did you think you'd be saying those words?
No, I didn't. I even going back to like when he was on NXT, and I never thought that that I would think that Baron Corbin doesn't suck. He just gets it, and that's something that not a lot of people do, and you know, and he works in a way like, have you ever heard of anyone being injured by Baron Corbin? Like, we just haven't. And that's a big deal, and that's something that is impressive to me, and is something that I think that people don't give him enough credit for, and that thing, so to speak. So, yeah, in my opinion, I do think that he's there, and he's in a good spot. And no, I never in a million years did I ever think that I'd be saying those things about Baron Corbin. Absolutely not.
So what does this mean for the t-shirt on ProWrestlingTees.com?
It's a good question.
Chair shot.
That is a good question. So here's, and I've said this about the t-shirt before, and I've said that to market the t-shirt. If you still think Baron Corbin sucks, and there is a large contingency of people out there on the Twitter who still think, now of course, when I say on the Twitter, I unfortunately destroy all credibility those people on Twitter have because I mentioned they're on the Twitter. Twitter has no credibility. That's why I just stay off of it. But there's still a lot of people there that think that Baron Corbin sucks. If you think Baron Corbin sucks, you should buy the Baron Corbin Sucks t-shirt. If you don't think that Baron Corbin sucks, if you think that Baron Corbin is actually good and you want to support Baron Corbin, well, he's a heel. Therefore, the best way you can support Baron Corbin is by sporting a Baron Corbin Sucks t-shirt. Because if you remember, and this happened during a show, he likes the shirt. He's seen the shirt and commented. I believe the exact phrase was, "I dig it." So he gets it. And maybe that's when Greg first started to turn around, when Baron Corbin actually acknowledged the shirt.
I'll have to put tape on mine that just now adds King Baron Corbin Sucks.
I wonder if we could. Ooh, maybe it's a new design idea. The exact same shirt, just with like King and marker or something up at the top, and
just in marker King or masking tape.
Yeah, masking tape with King written in marker over the masking tape. Yeah, that could be a good idea. I like,
because he is King, we have to call him by his proper title now, I guess.
He's King Corbin, because King Baron Corbin.
Michael Cole will remind us for the rest of our god.
I wonder what his is going to be, because I mean, you know, we've got the big dog.
Here comes the big dog.
You know, we've got boss time.
It's boss time. It's boss time.
Will we get one for Baron Corbin? I don't know. Like, is there one that we could get for Baron Corbin?
Well, I'm curious on more on the announcing realm if they do a big King Corbin, you know, something.
Well, Shane's on TV less, so yeah, maybe he already made Mike Rome announce him as King Corbin once before he even had it. So yeah, I think there's got to be something. And lest we forget, this tournament was not brought about because they really wanted to do King of the Ring. This tournament was brought about to push somebody, and that somebody's Baron Corbin. And they did. Remember, it was like the summer of Corbin. I mean, he feuded with Seth Rollins all summer. He and Lacey Evans lost to Seth and Becky Lynch at Extreme Rules. He went away for a little bit. This is trademark WWE. No one complained that Baron Corbin was getting buried, by the way. Like, they complained that Cedric Alexander was getting buried because
like,
we like Cedric. We don't like Baron. And now he came back. And what happened? Now he's over. And now he's a big deal. And now he's King of the Ring. And several weeks of television, 16 guys, other storylines, multiple injuries, all a result of the WWE wanting to push Baron Corbin. When I say multiple injuries, again, he's never injured anybody. And Randy Orton mentioned that on Twitter. Like, somebody made a comment on Twitter about Baron Corbin's work and how he seems to really lay it in, but you can tell that he's light as a feather. And Randy Orton actually replied to that tweet and said, he's one of the few guys that still gets it. And it was just really interesting that Randy Orton, because Randy doesn't care. Like, Randy's going to say whatever Randy wants to say. That's what I love about Randy Orton. He don't give a shit. He's Randy Orton. And he out there supporting Baron Corbin. So, you know, it's...
That's
it's
a big, big sign of support.
It's when a big endorsement.
Randy Orton gives you, yeah.
I mean...
The big endorsement.
We all know how much Randy Orton loved Kofi Kingston. So he loves Baron Corbin.
I can see why people are disappointed in the outcome of this, that this tournament was set up to push Baron Corbin because of the history of King of the Ring. And again, we are in a time of nostalgia where we love our Raw reunions. We love reminiscing about the past. We love bringing back things. And so to bring back King of the Ring is a big nod to the past, to those fans who grew that. To see how it impacted the lives of Stone Cold and Owen Hart and Bret Hart and all of the more historic winners. Now, there wasn't really any big historic winners during the last few years of the King of the Ring tournament. And do you think that will be the case for this one? Is this going to be remembered as more of one of those winners that maybe just didn't quite stick with the audience?
I honestly don't think so. I think Corbin's going to stick. And as crazy as it sounds, I just think he's one of those guys that's going to be here long term. Look, people thought Roman wasn't going to stick. And Roman's a cemented guy forever. He's main evented 4 straight WrestleManias. Like, he's, you know, a top 10 WWE superstar of all time already, even though people don't want to admit it. People thought Cena wouldn't stick. Now, I'm not putting Baron Corbin on that level, but he could definitely have a long run. Like, at this point, he will be a world champion. He will win a world title in WWE at some point. He will, I don't know if he'll main event at WrestleMania, but he'll main event more pay-per-views. He's not done doing that. He's definitely going to be that big deal, and that's something that Baron Corbin is going to have going for him. So, I'm on board. And I love the King of the Ring. I thought they made the right decision in the end, and yeah, I think that it's all good fun.
Now, one of the reasons, too, I wanted to talk about this is going through Steve's article. It made me think about any other wrestlers.
Can I jump in before you do that?
Flopped on.
Can I just interrupt? And so I sent you a link to an article that I think it could be a lot of fun right now. It could have been fun last week, and it's even more fun now. So a month – and I didn't realize this. A month ago – what's that?
Funner.
Yes, funner. Did I say funner? I meant funner, damn it. So I sent you an article. And a month ago today, actually, 1 month ago on August 17, 2019, I wrote an article at thechairshot.com titled Cracking the Code on the 2019 King of the Ring. Now, if you have the article open, Miranda, could you do us all a favor and just tell everybody the 4 different individuals in the main image used for this article?
Okay, give me a second, because my computer is very slow.
Okay.
So give me a second.
Fine. This is what we. This is good radio right here. This is where we need like this musical interludes that we can play. That people.
Because unfortunately. You know,
like to hear.
Viva la raza!
Should play random stuff. Have fun with it.
Shut up!
I'm trying to tell by the look on your face if you have it yet or not.
I don't know, but can... Can we do a little interlude, though? I guess slightly off topic is what happened on Raw yesterday with Maria and Mike Kanellis.
Oh, my God.
And Ricochet and Rusev.
Like, apparently everybody but Mike Kanellis is the father. Like, I don't even know. It's so stupid. This is how they brought Rusev back. Yeah,
this is how they brought Rusev back. I mean, one, I'm glad Rusev is back. I mean, he's looking great. Very excited for him. But then I have so many questions. Is he the father? What happened with Lana? Like, does she know that he's possibly the father of this baby? You know,
like, I'm sure it's going to be Maria just using all these people to screw with Mike Kanellis, because that's what they do. That's what she does. His name is Mike Kanellis, for crying out loud. Like, he's named after his wife. Like,
you're preaching to the choir. I've never taken that man seriously since the moment he stepped in WWE, okay? So you're preaching to the choir here, but I mean,
and you know what? I think that's okay. Like, I think that's the point. You're not supposed to take him seriously. That's his character. That's all right.
But is that a bad thing? I mean, I know that there's, I guess it's more of a curiosity thing. Like, everyone has the dream of being in the WWE, you know, and making it big. And everyone hopes that they can be taken as a serious wrestler. The Roman Reigns, the Randy Ortons, you know, the Braun Strowmans. But everyone has their role to play. And there's some people who are just, you know, being made fun of. And that's their thing. And how do you... Can you do it? Can you just... That is just your career. That is just you. You're just the guy that, you know, your wife just publicly berates you in front of millions of people and questions your manhood and then makes you believe that you were not the father of their child. I don't know.
They're making... Combined between the two of them, they're making $1 million a year. Like, I think it's okay. I think they're all right with it.
So it is one of those situations when you're hanging out with your friends, you'd be like, what would you do for $1 million?
Right.
Would you? Insert situation here. And so would you, for $1 million, let your wife go on national television and berate you, belittle you, and then also make people believe that you are not the father of your child for $1 million?
Absolutely. Without question, I would. Two reasons why.
I would too.
Two reasons why. Number one, it's $1 million. Number two, I am not lacking in the area of self-confidence whatsoever, so I wouldn't care if people even... I wouldn't even care if people believed it. Like, I'd be like, whatever, don't care, it doesn't matter to me. So there are people who would not, and there are people who would say they wouldn't and would, and there are actual people who would not, and those people will forever be stupid. But yeah, no, I absolutely would, without question, without even giving you a second thought. I'd do it twice.
Well, now we know. So I finally have the article up.
Oh, yeah, the article.
Greg, yes, it took a, that's our segment, our interlude. Cracking the code on the 2019 King of the Ring, and there are four.
So who are the four pictures of?
On, huh?
So who are the four pictures of?
The four pictures are of Cesaro, The Miz, Drew McIntyre, and Andrade.
Ooh, I didn't realize that was coming. So now if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, this might take you a while because I'm asking you to scroll. You'll actually see a bracket that I filled out with who I thought and how I thought it was going to go. And remember, the title of this article was Cracking the Code. So I was like, you know, hey, this was it, man. This was the solution. This was the back of the textbook. This is the answer key to the King of the Ring bracket. Now, of the four pictures, three of them lost in the first round of the King of the Ring tournament.
I also like how you specifically mentioned Chad Gable being eliminated in the first round.
Yep, because I did. I did this whole big process of elimination and initially had guys who just simply aren't winning. Obvious non-winners is what I call it. The very first name in the obvious non-winner section is none other than Chad Gable. So I had Chad Gable crossed out in my first elimination. I had, let's see, when did I cross out Baron Corbin? Baron Corbin was eliminated in matchup number three, basically, because I, with my initial process of elimination, I had Andrade in the finals because of what I did on the SmackDown bracket, because there was no way that Chad Gable was going to, I actually had Chad Gable winning, I think, in the first round, and then losing to Andrade. And then, of course, you know, so once I knew Andrade was going to be in the finals, there was no way Baron Corbin could be in the finals, so I took him out. But yeah, my final four was, you want to read my final four? Like, this is how bad I did.
Let's see, your final four. Well, I have final five. You had Andrade, Baron mm-hmm. Corbin, Cesaro, mm-hmm. The Miz, and Samoa Joe.
Oh, I see what you, so yeah, so if you go, if you scroll a little further down, you'll actually see the bracket that I had.
Let's see.
Assuming images are loading on your computer.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So, yeah, your final four were Drew and Miz mm-hmm. and Owens and Andrade.
And who were my finalists?
Miz and Andrade.
And if you could be so kind as to, above the bracket there, there's a paragraph where I talk about the winner. And I end with a four-word sentence in all bold and all italics to end the article.
Yes. So here, as far as using your selected winner, all hail King Andrade.
Yep. I picked Andrade to win. He didn't make it out of the second round. I picked his opponent to be The Miz. He didn't make it out of the first round. I had Kevin Owens in the final four. He didn't make it out of the first round. I had Drew McIntyre in the final four. He didn't make it out of the first. In fact, I think I had three of the eight first round winners, even correct, and then no one after that. So, yeah. Cracking the code. Cracking the code.
Very unpredictable for, yes, for what I think a lot of people thought. I don't think very many people thought, probably up until maybe the second round, that King Corbin was going to be a thing. I think many people saw him being eliminated first. But I also think that as that momentum grew, the popularity grew. And sometimes I'm curious about the foresight of WWE. And this goes back to, as a fan, I think many people believe that they just, you know, shove things down your throat, that this, they're just telling you what you want and not giving people what they really want. And that has happened. It really has. But sometimes things come together and they have the foresight of knowing that things are going to click eventually. And this was an example of it working beautifully, because it started to grow. It just started to make sense as it progressed through the different rounds. And luckily, it got people changing their minds. I'm still a heel, but definitely not that, oh, I hate him, he absolutely sucks. It's, oh, I'm supposed to hate him because he's a heel, but he's all right.
Which is what causes guys to eventually turn babyface. And
yeah, he was already getting cheered.
Like, he was.
Then, why didn't they do this with Roman? I've been saying this, like, if they just turned him heel for a month, mm-hmm. he would have just turned face so fast. They wouldn't have to deal with three back-to-back WrestleMania main events that, you know, bored people to death.
Well, I don't think they bored people to death, but at least not me. That's all I can speak for, I guess. With Roman, though, it was different because he was making a ton of money for them as that tweener that they pushed as a babyface and people hated. And I remember Triple H being asked in an interview, why don't you turn Roman Reigns heel? And Triple H's answer was, he's already there. Like, you guys are already treating him like a heel. So it's, yeah, it's very interesting. The thing about Baron Corbin, you brought up a great point about, you know, Vince McMahon giving the fans what they want. And it really goes back to more, and who knows, maybe this wasn't even a Vince McMahon decision. We gotta, you know, we don't know anymore. Sometimes WWE doesn't give you what you want, they give you what you need. I mean, look at when Ali got injured They could have put anybody in that spot. It was WWE who chose to put Kofi in that spot. If they didn't put Kofi in that spot, nobody would have been clamoring for Kofi Kingston to get a title shot at WrestleMania. Like, it just would not have happened. WWE put him there, and then everybody was going after it. Like, they know what they're doing, and people don't want to admit that.
Well, I think they know what they're doing, but they don't always get the sense of how the audience is going to react. And
true,
I think it's happy accidents when it works out this well. It's the best laid plans, and I can't necessarily put a percentage on it off the top of my head, but you know, they'll try things and it won't click. And sometimes they're real quick to change it without like giving it time. But then the moments when maybe it's still not clicking and they give it too much time, I can understand as a fan having that inconsistency. Now, granted, this is a creative product, so there isn't a straight formula as to how much time you need to give something for it to work. You know, either it works initially or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then you modify it until it does. I mean, it's a very, you know, lucid process, but also, as fans, we've seen things get dropped one moment without any explanation, as in like Rowan's double. You know, this whole who's trying to murder Roman Reigns storyline. There was so many inconsistencies, and then we had this double of Rowan, and so that never got explained. And instead of trying to push it, they just got rid of it. So, in some ways, yes, they just have a bad habit of getting rid of things if it's not clicking right away. But they also have a bad habit of sticking to things if it's not working and just kind of forcing it to people. This was a best case example of they went with Corbin. That was going to be their person. And, you know, people just started gravitating to him as a heel. And it worked to the point where now he's even getting cheered. So
They were chanting. We weren't here last week, and we talked about this briefly. They were chanting the man's name in Madison Square Garden. Like, he was the most over guy in a match between Baron Corbin, Samoa Joe, and Ricochet. Now, if I asked you, in a match between Baron Corbin, Samoa Joe, and Ricochet, who would be the most over guy? Like, what order would you put those three in Madison Square
Garden? I would put Samoa Joe, Ricochet, Corbin.
And it really went Corbin, Joe, Ricochet. Ricochet was the third most over guy in that match. Now, the crowd was great. He was still very over. But, like, I've never seen a crowd chant 1-2-3 when Baron Corbin pinned somebody. Like, it was just amazing. And he literally did 1-2-3 and then popped for Corbin. They were chanting, "Let's go, Corbin." I mean, that's like John Cena level stuff. It's like, I can't wait for the "Let's go, Corbin, Corbin sucks" chants that are coming, because Corbin's here.
Oh, it's happening.
The king is here.
It's happening.
It's no longer the champ is here. It's the king is here. Like, I think Baron Corbin should start coming out to his own version of the champ is here, and it should be the king is here, and he should be the one rapping it. Like, that would just be.
Oh, Dad, so don't do that, Greg. Don't do that. Please don't.
Just and by don't the
put
way,
that out there.
I looked up something. And I found it, and so just remind me that I have a surprise for the end of the show.
Okay.
So write that down, or I wrote it down too, but hopefully
you wrote it down.
One of us will remember.
Well, one thing I also wanted to mention before we got deeper into your failed King of the Ring bracket was. Steve mentioned in his article different wrestlers that he's flip-flopped over the past few years, and it made me think about who I have flipped on recently, and I told you this before we got started on the show, because it happens, you know, events, time away, whatever the circumstance may be, you can flip on someone, maybe someone that you liked previously you end up not liking, and maybe someone that you didn't care for now you like. And my closest comparison to that is Alexa Bliss. And I've been on this show previously and your show mentioning I wasn't a big fan of the Alexa Bliss character. And to me, it was because of her overexposure. During the time that she was still recovering from injury, WWE put her in a really predominant role as, you know, someone who was overseeing the women's division. You had the Moment of Bliss segments that came up. Like, she was everywhere. And to me, that was just too much Alexa Bliss. That had nothing to do with wrestling. I liked the character and I understood that she was supposed to be a heel, but to me it was too much exposure. And even when she started to come back and in this tag team with Nikki Cross, I still wasn't sure, because knowing the history of Alexa Bliss, you know that everyone she teams with, she turns on. So I was pretty much ready for this formula to come through. But I have to admit, over the past few weeks, and her and Nikki Cross now being a cohesive team and also a face team, I've really started to grow a good admiration for Alexa Bliss. I am now buying her as a face, which I didn't think I would beforehand. And so I believe some of it is definitely just to time in away from the ring. But also I'm seeing a little less of her, and I like that. I like her in a wrestling capacity. I like her partnership with Nikki Cross. Things just flow well together for me. So I have flipped on Alexa Bliss. I like her now.
First of all, you're not going to believe the name I just wrote down on this note card. It's funny because I was worried about having enough, and now I have a ton.
You have too many.
I do have too many. First of all, I've always been a fan of Alexa Bliss, even back to the NXT days, and was surprised when she got called up when she did, but she did a good job. Why they don't call the team Bliss Cross, I don't know why, but they don't, and that's fine. And yeah, this is when I could play the soundbite.
That title sure does cover up those...
But I'm not going to. Speaking of Alexa Bliss, I could not stand Buddy Murphy back in NXT. Thought he was the weak link of the tag team of Blake and Murphy. And as
you were wrong.
I thought Marty Jannetty was a better rocker. I thought Matt Hardy was a better Hardy boy. The only one I thought Edge was the better member of Edge and Christian, but when he got injured, he was gone for so long. I was like, well, window of opportunity for Edge is closed. Never going to be a world champion. And yeah, that was completely proven wrong. All of these things, by the way, I've admitted I was wrong on. The whole purpose of the Cracking the Code article was to prove that I always admit when I'm wrong, because I could have ignored that article and never brought it up again.
You could have buried it. You could have put it in the vault with all the other secret shows and articles.
What I love, there's no vault. Like, there literally is no vault.
That's what you say. That's what you have to say, Greg, but I know there's a chair shot vault. There's a vault. 100%. I know it exists. Yep. This is so, like, Buddy Murphy. Vinci Code of wrestling. So, there is a vault.
When the Shield came out, I didn't think Roman Reigns was going to be much. And definitely flip-flopped on. The moment they broke up and Roman was a solo guy, even before then, I was like, oh yeah, this guy's going to be huge. I knew that. I, for the longest time in TNA, did not like James Storm one bit. I thought James Storm was terrible. Didn't like him. Thought he was a weak link. And when he kind of went solo, and when he was feuding with Bobby Roode and won the world title from Kurt Angle before Bobby Roode did, I was like, okay, I can dig James Storm. And now I'm like, why aren't we getting more of James Storm? Why isn't James Storm with one of these bigger companies? Because I think he's extremely talented. The big one on my list is actually Charlotte Flair, staying in the women's division. When she came up from NXT, I was not a fan. I didn't think she was ready. Her promos sucked. Like, if you go back and watch some of the Charlotte Flair promo, she, and I've mentioned this on shows before, there are people in the world who, when they speak publicly, they always sound like they're about to cry. And it's just the way they sound. And she was like that. And it wasn't until she went full heel and turned on Ric Flair where Charlotte, for me, started to click. And fast forward, she was the glue that held the WrestleMania 35 main event together and is easily the greatest women's wrestler in the world, not named Io Shirai, and probably better than Io Shirai because she can communicate better than Io Shirai can, as much as it pains me to admit that. So I was completely not thinking that Charlotte Flair, I knew she'd get the opportunities because of her name, because of her dad, but she's grown into that to the point now where anything she does, anything she accomplishes, has zero to do with Ric Flair and everything to do with Charlotte Flair. She got her start that way, and look, Charlotte Flair got her start because her dad's Ric Flair. Curtis Axel got his start because his dad's Mr. Perfect, and look where they are now. So your family can get you in the door, It's about what you do with it. If Charlotte wasn't good enough, Charlotte wouldn't be where Charlotte is. And that's just a simple fact. She is no longer needing to trade on the Flair name. She uses the name now, and she should. That's her character. That's her gimmick. But if she dropped everything, she'd be fine.
I've loved how Rick said, I am no longer, you know, Charlotte is no longer Ric Flair's daughter. I am Charlotte Flair's dad.
Like, oh my God, it's so funny that you said that. So several years ago, Patrick and I had the distinct pleasure of interviewing on an edition of the Greg DeMarco Show, a man by the name of Mike Bennett. Mike Bennett, of course, now wrestles under the name Mike Kanellis. And the reason why I think it's so funny is because we talked about, he was already married to, Maria was literally like sitting next to him during this interview. Never said anything on the air, but she was right there with him. And we asked him, you know, what is, you know, in your career being, you know, sort of in the shadow of Maria Kelly, and it's at this point they were in Ring of Honor, but she's been on Raw, she's been all over the place, whatever. And he actually said, someday people will be referring to Maria Kanellis as Mike Bennett's wife. And boy, is that ever funny now.
No. Yeah.
He's literally, I mean, he's, Mike Kanellis.
Speaking of Kanellis. People who are wrong.
Yeah, I mean, right.
He just spent this whole he's few literally minutes talking about Mike all the Kanellis. Ways that you're wrong.
So Charlotte Flair.
He would have known.
Yeah, right. I should play. I need to. That's one I got to dig out and play. That'll be really funny. Maybe if I ever get him back on the show again, which will never happen. But he's also bringing in millions of dollars, so good for him. Because WWE broke the bank, as we learned during the last show, to sign Mike and Maria to their three-year deals.
So much money.
So Charlotte Flair is the one that really tops my list. But I want to share with you one person. When this person debuted, I was like, they're too small, they're not engaging, they look vanilla, and there's just really nothing to this person. And I don't think this person's ever going to be a big star. And this debut did not happen in WWE. This was pre-WWE for this person. Do you want to take a guess?
Ooh. I'm going to say AJ Styles.
No. No AJ Styles. Not AJ whatsoever. Do you want another guess? You can do this all day. Do you want a 12th guess?
More hints? Pre-WWE?
Pre-WWE. I've interviewed this person. Patrick and I have interviewed this person more than once. We've interviewed this person. This person is before coming to WWE, has been a world champion. Has been a multiple time world champion before coming to WWE.
Is it your man crush Mondays, Adam Cole?
When I first saw Adam Cole, I was like, I don't see it. Now I'm like, ooh. Sending you and Patrick pictures of Adam Cole on Man Crush Monday.
Yeah, it's literally his Man Crush Monday is Adam Cole.
Yeah, and
there's a particular picture he likes of, it's a smoldering look, you know, his eyes are a little squinty, but, you know, chiseled jawbone and, you know, no shirt. It just drives Greg crazy.
You know what's really sad about what you just said? You did the whole thing and you said no shirt, and I was like, nope, he's wearing a shirt. like I actually immediately thought that. That's just bad. Maybe it's people named Adam, because Edge's name is Adam, and I also didn't think anything about Adam Pearce when I first saw him wrestle, and now think he's one of the most underrated people and a hell of a person backstage for WWE, so... Yeah.
So I guess if your name is Adam, Greg is automatically going to just undercut you.
Greg is automatically going to be wrong about you, basically, if your name is Adam. I will not give you enough credit.
So you should tweet at Greg, and that's not him. That's not his Twitter handle.
No, I wish it was.
At Chairshot Greg.
Yes, because someone else already has Greg DeMarco. And let's just pull that up, because the last time they tweeted was 2012. I think that was the last time they tweeted, but I can't have it for some reason. Let's see when they did that. It's not even coming up. Maybe I can get it. Funny story. So in 2015, Patrick O'Dowd tweeted at Greg DeMarco. I've never been at Greg DeMarco on Twitter. 2012 was the last time this person tweeted. They joined in 2009. They have two followers, one of which also follows me. I'm going to guess that person followed that person. And it's a pro wrestler. Guarantee you they didn't mean to follow that Greg DeMarco. Is a bot. I can tell because it's a picture of a woman, but the name makes no sense. And their little biography says, "Life is short, eat the chocolate." So, yeah. I still can't have Greg DeMarco, the Twitter handle. So, yeah. He's only ever tweeted six times.
Devastating.
And four of them were in 2009, two of them were in 2012, and they haven't tweeted since. I wonder if I can, send a request. I don't know. But here's the problem. I think about it now, and then I don't think about it ever again until, 5 months from now.
You won't.
And then a year later, and then whatever. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of social media, I have a very big social media announcement.
I wasn't sure if you were going to. I didn't want to ask.
You know, I wanted to save it until the end of the show. I wanted to tease it, but then I forgot. So
then I forgot.
That's just me.
Before you do, let me see if I have.
But I wanted to make it. I wanted to make it a hashtag Miranda Show exclusive.
Before you do,
talk about it.
Before you do, let's. Actually, wait, no, that's not the best way. There's only one way to truly introduce this. There's no song though. It just leads into your announcement.
My big announcement is that I am still not on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. Not happening.
Nor should it.
However, I have joined Instagram.
The Instagram. It's the Instagram.
The Instagram. I've Yay. Joined the Instagram.
I'm you can't learning. Believe you joined Instagram. You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain. You're so vain. I bet you think this song is about you. Don't you? Don't you? And to further prove your vanity, I'd like to take the opportunity to talk about the three things you've posted on Instagram. So, thing number one is a picture of you, ring announcing. Thing number two is a picture of you wearing glasses, drinking out of a Finn Balor mug. Picture number three is just a picture of you. So, yeah, there you go. You're so vain.
They're all me. I'm still learning this whole Instagram thing. I'm trying to keep up some regular activity. But I also have no idea what to post about other than me, because that's just what I think you do on Instagram. I see lots of people with other pictures and videos, so I am working towards it, but I'm trying to build up, a little bit of a profile. So it just got created within the past week. I already have 6 followers.
There you go.
So that's a pretty big deal.
Pretty big deal.
So, if you are interested in following me on the Instagram, you can find me at the hashtag Miranda, spelled out hashtag, not just the hashtag.
Yeah, they won't
sign.
Let you use. They won't let you use.
I couldn't
sign.
Do that.
And yes. Somebody already had hashtag Miranda, which really sucked. But
yeah, someone already had it. But you can follow me at the hashtag Miranda.
It's really funny because we had this conversation where I made you promise me if you ever joined, you would be hashtag Miranda. And then I think within an hour, you were on Instagram as hashtag Miranda.
I told Greg about my plans to join Instagram. He said yes, and you need to have it as your name, which would work for me because I had no idea what I wanted to have my name as. So it worked out pretty well where I could get the hashtag Miranda.
Yeah, and yeah, I think it's fun. And I think everybody should go follow you at the hashtag Miranda. We'll have so much fun with it, and we're gonna. Yeah, I think it's great, and congrats. and we'll have a lot of fun. We'll help you grow your brand, and
the hashtag Miranda brand.
I keep talking about all this wee stuff we're going to do. I'm pulling back the curtain way too far and blowing people's image of our friendship. So, yeah, no, it sucks. Don't ever join social media. Can't believe you did that.
I'm still not on Twitter. So
no,
that's not going to happen.
You told me you'd never go. You're a lying whore. Yeah, I got to use it. You're a lying whore. That should have been your handle. Hashtag lying whore.
Hashtag lying whore. Yeah.
That would have been great.
Maybe I'll work on that for next time as never. I'm just going to keep hashtag Miranda. Just going to keep it. But
so,
I'd love, if anyone likes to follow me on Instagram, please feel free to do so. You can, Greg, you are on Instagram at Chairshot Greg. Yeah, so you can go tell Greg to fuck off on Instagram or Twitter, you know, whatever you decide.
They do that. Actually, no one does that on Instagram. They definitely do it on Twitter. So,
yeah.
Instagram is like nice. People are nice on Instagram. People are not mean. I mean, they might be. I bet with all the models and influencers, and which is really, Instagram's done a lot to shut them out.
Yes.
There's probably a lot of real bad stuff in the comments on those.
I've definitely been doing my research on Instagram and seeing what kind of pictures people post. Beautiful pictures of beautiful people.
So, mostly fake.
So I got a lot of work to kind of figure out because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But I agree. It's just a nicer format for me to follow. So I'm going to try that out and continue to avoid Twitter. So
I'm gonna take a picture of the meerkat.
Business.
I'm going to take a picture of the meerkat and part of your face and my face, and there we go. And I'm going to put that on Instagram, and I'm going to tag you.
Put it on Instagram.
I'm going to tag you. You've never been tagged.
Oh yeah, I guess you can. I guess you can tag me.
So I'm going to put it there, and I need to use a filter of some kind. Let's see. Let's make sure that it fits.
You should just take a picture of the meerkat and filter that. I don't understand why you got to. I feel like the meerkat's going to get a lot more likes than anything else.
But it's definitely artsy. Now I'm picking filters, which I've never really done before. So, what should I use, the Hudson filter or the Valencia filter, Miranda? What do you think?
I'm a big fan of Valencia myself. Have you heard people naming their kids the names of Instagram filters?
So someone has a kid named Nashville? That's amazing.
I'm pretty sure.
Someone probably does have a kid named Nashville, actually.
Hudson and Valencia.
That's kind of crazy. What's crazier is that you know all of this. So
I've read it online. You know, there's articles out there.
Tag people. So we're going to tag the hashtag. You're not. Oh, there you are. You came up. Hashtag Miranda.
Yeah, I tell it. I'm official.
And then
I am Instagram official.
On my picture, we will tag the chairshot.com. So that's done. So we'll tag that. This is in thrilling. And then there's the meerkat. Maybe there's something I can tag that's got meerkats.
You should make an Instagram for the meerkat.
Well, we'll see what if the meerkat takes off, I will. So there's actually a meerkat photography, meerkat cosplay, clean, funny meerkat. But these are all actual people. I just have meerkat in their name. Like, there's no meerkat press. There we go. There you go, meerkat. So we have tagged. We're not going to add a location because that's weird. I don't want people to know where I live. And share. Don't press send. That's my advice to people. I press send all the time and shouldn't. So, yeah. So I think based on, in celebration of this, I think it's time for me to fulfill a long-standing promise and as soon as possible, sometime this week, I think it's time to put out the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt and put that together in the same form of as the King of Strong Style and do the knockoff Queen of Soft Style t-shirt. I think people will buy it not even knowing what it is. Some people will buy it knowing what it is. Others will buy it not
knowing
what it is.
Don't play with me. Do not play with me.
And then you'll have a product. Don't. You'll have a product to market on your social media.
A thing with that I say and have on a shirt. Holy crap.
It's going to be coming. the Queen of Soft Style.
Oh my God.
Will be a thing. I have so much fun with this.
Huge exclusive on the hashtag Miranda Show. I am on Instagram, and possibly one day, maybe we'll be getting a hashtag Soft Style t-shirt.
There's no maybe
to it. Queen of Soft Style.
There's no maybe to it.
Queen of Soft Style on it. It's crazy. That's, you know, dreams do come true, everyone.
Would it be the ultimate irony? Would you buy the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt not in Soft Style? Like, would you do that just to be funny?
Why would I do that?
I don't know.
I mean, that's blasphemy to not buy it in Soft Style.
I know, right? I should put it up there, I should be like, you can only offer this in Soft Style.
Only available in Soft Style.
And I mean, people are already liking the post.
But I just feel like it just won't have the same impact.
Maybe. So there you go.
Wow.
T-shirts coming. Well, I mean, but Instagram's already there. It's official.
It's official. I mean, I think there's just no better way to end the show other than that. I mean, we got some great conversation in, dropped some exclusive news. if anything more is to come, I will be on a short hiatus over the next few weeks. I will be traveling next week to Atlanta, Georgia. Visiting some friends and family down there. So I will be out, but I will be resuming recording the hashtag Miranda Show in early October, maybe right before we get into the Wednesday Night Wars. Who knows? So maybe we will have a preview special of Wednesday Night Wars. I'm excited about it. Attitude era child here, so very reminiscent of that, very excited about that. But you can continue to listen to all the fantastic podcasts on the Chair Shot Radio Network at thechairshot.com.
So because last time you said October 1st was like 50-50, so it's October 1st still 50-50? Because I know that's the day you like return home.
I will be traveling back from Atlanta to Arizona that day. So as long as there's no delays,
right,
then we are good.
But you just never know.
However, you never know. There's been lots of storms lately. Planes, you know, get broken or stuff like that, you know.
Yes.
Pilots don't show up to their flights. I don't know what happens. I don't know all the excuses that they give, but yes, it is. It can be very tricky. So 50-50, but we'll see. Maybe we'll surprise you. If I make it back in time, it will be a surprise edition. If not,
you never know.
Everyone's just going to have to listen to the Greg DeMarco Show.
And the hashtag Britney Show, if she's able to do it, which may never, ever, ever happen.
See, I was surprised that you were going to bring this up. So I definitely now have a soft spot for Patrick O'Dowd because he's been so worried about, you know, me coming in to quote unquote steal his job or just replace him. And we've laughed about it now for almost pretty much a full year. We've also, you know, realized that we've been doing this whole thing for almost a full year now. And when I told Greg I wasn't going to be able to make it to both the Greg DeMarco Show and hashtag Miranda Show last week, he was like, okay, that's cool. I'm going to just see, you know, if someone else wants to jump in. Okay, that's fine. You know, bringing in a guest for the Greg DeMarco Show. No, he wanted to give my show away to Brittany.
For 1 week, temporary, is a fill-in. It's like when I let Rick host for me, like it's a fill-in.
Who is a fantastic ring announcer in the New Orleans area. You guys should be following her on social media, Brittany Houghton. Wonderful, wonderful, talented, beautiful girl. So I totally understand, you know, why he would bring her on. But he was ready to give her the hashtag Brittany Show.
And to be funny,
gone for 1 week. No wonder people never leave this business. You're out for 1 week and your spot gets taken.
That's so true. That's very so true. But yeah, that's fine. You can worry all you want. I'm not even going to play it up. I'm not even going to be like, but what about all these things? Because we've pulled back the curtain too much. So no, yeah, you'd be worried. I don't know. Meerkat. Headbutting you. Oh my goodness! Wow. Did you remember what I told you to do before the end of the show?
To remind you.
Yes.
Of an announcement.
So I don't. It's not an announcement. I don't know how this is even going to go. I was looking for something to end the show with, and I found this, and it was uploaded to YouTube on August 27, 2019. I've never heard it, so I don't know if it's a visual thing or if it's a sound thing. So I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to find out because I haven't been able to preview this. But it's 38 seconds long. It's a commercial. I was looking for a specific commercial, and I found this one. So are you ready to see what kind of disaster I'm about to walk us into?
I don't have any other choice, so let's roll. Right.
Let's see what this sounds like. So it's not quite what I thought it was going to be. Because here's what I was really going for. Let's see. What I was really going for was something like, what is it? This one, maybe? Oh, they need narrators in their commercials.
Wake up, sweetie.
Doesn't work. Let's fast forward. See if they ever say what it is. They never say
Applebee's
what it is.
To go.
There you go.
That's eaten. Applebee's to go. Now that's eaten good in the neighborhood.
So, stop. So, yeah, I was trying to find an Applebee's commercial. And then I came across the Baron Corbin Applebee's one. But unfortunately, it's just Baron Corbin's theme over an Applebee's commercial. With a picture of Baron Corbin in it later. So it would have been funny if they were actually talking and spliced it together like it should have been me. Dolph Ziggler song,
but they
didn't do any of that, and so it ended up being a big disappointment, just like my opinion of Baron Corbin. So, yeah, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. That's what happened to my life.
That, you know, I guess it's that counts, because Baron Corbin does, you know, look like a waiter from Applebee's. So.
But it's not supposed to be Applebee's, though. It's supposed to be, I thought it was TGI Fridays, and then Denny's, I think, because he's Big Breakfast Baron Corbin. To a certain portion of the internet wrestling community, they actually call him Big Breakfast, and now he's Big Breakfast King of the Ring, or I don't know, but yeah. And the Big Breakfast people hated Baron Corbin, now they love him. So again, Baron Corbin, everybody comes around.
It's a crazy world we live in, everyone. Keep on giving people a chance; they may surprise you, like King Baron Corbin.
And it should be me.